Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is October 2nd. Yeah, I don't even know. I know the October shit because my birthday's coming up.
Oh, that's right.
We're after my birthday, I'm going to get blurry again.
When your birthday again?
The 8th, which is next Tuesday.
Right, what do you want to do this year? Nothing?
Excuse me, this Tuesday.
I keep forgetting you and Justin like a couple days apart.
Yeah, like a day apart. Yeah. He's 6, right?
Yeah.
He's 6, yeah. I ain't really doing nothing this year. Goldie actually hit me asking me if I want to do... He wants to do more of a holiday thing again.
Okay.
But he wants to do something closer to Thanksgiving time. Only thing about that is, like, Thanksgiving's so compacted.
Right.
Like, you can't do the night before because everybody's cooking and shopping and running around, right? And then that Black Friday, people tend to...
He wants to do it literally, like, Thanksgiving weekend?
Weekend, yeah.
Oh.
And then the Black Friday niggas is tired.
It would have to be Saturday.
And then people shopping and all that. And that Friday gets weird because sometimes if you got family in, it's like, oh, they're still here, you know? And then you go on the Saturday and then niggas is like... I don't know.
Cousins.
So I don't know. So we're gonna fix something.
Thanksgiving night used to be a big party night when I was coming up, but I feel like it's not anymore because we old and we just sit in the house.
Exactly. Because Thanksgiving night, people and our generation end up staying in.
Right. Like, but back in the day, we used to leave after dinner. We'd be like, all right, bye.
Yeah. Now it's like, we all put on Netflix, you know,
put the game on.
We're going to play some cards.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some shit. You know, we're going to look
We drunk. By 8 o'clock.
It's all drunk. We're looking through pictures. Who's this in this picture right here? That's your uncle Charles.
He passed away
when you was a baby. You wouldn't have known him.
78.
Charles was on trip too, wasn't he?
That's literally my cousin.
That was my uncle Kenny because he died when I was a kid. So I would always see these pictures.
Like, who is this?
Huge. That was the picture I showed you.
Oh yeah.
When you was like, nigga, that's John Henry.
You know, so we're gonna figure out this party thing, but we should do the announcement now officially.
Yes, I was about to
tell
you.
We're doing a live Pop Life podcast at Red Rooster, or Jenny's in Red Rooster in Harlem on October 21st.
Yes.
From 6 to 9, 6 to 10. We're gonna figure out the timing, which is a Monday night.
And if you are not already on our mailing list, tweet us at are we Pop Life Podcast or the Pop Life Podcast? Tweet us at Pop Life Podcast, no D, or DM us. Give us your email address so that we can send you all the details as it's forthcoming. But it is November 21st.
October
21st. Sorry. I'll be talking about Thanksgiving. It's October 21st. So basically in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we'd love to see you there. So many of you guys always tell us that you talk back to us in your cars.
Yeah.
Now you can talk back to us for real.
Yep. And we're going to have a couple of really good guests.
Yep.
And it should be just a good time. It should be a good time uptown in Harlem.
Yes.
I got to give a big shout out to Ming the Tiger, the legendary Harlem figure.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned this story on the show before years ago, but Ming the Tiger was, it was a...
What, is he in Polo Houses?
No, he was in Drew.
Okay.
Which is Drew Hamilton, which is 143rd, 44th, and 7th Avenue.
Okay.
I can't remember the guy's name, but there's this guy. He's still alive. They call him the Tiger Man. And he actually was one of them guys that kind of tends to be in the projects, whatever. He's the guy that had pets. He's the animal guy. There's always a nigga who got the snakes and got nigga that caught a hawk. You know what I'm saying? I remember my grandma's project. This nigga had a hawk. And like, he had a Mr. Name Mad Dog. He had a hawk.
Of course the name was
Mad Dog. Mad Dog. And he had a hawk.
He had a hawk.
Of course the name was
Mad Nigga,
Dog.
You are really 87 years old.
Ain't no Mad Dog.
I bet he was a vet too and had the PTSD.
Now, I don't think Mad Dog was a vet, but you know what's wild? Mad Dog's real name, he passed away, was Bill Bailey. That was his real name.
Wow.
Bill Bailey. But anyway, so this guy, he was the animal guy. He had all kind of animals. He had a caiman. He had like animals.
Yeah,
I always said, I felt like after this story broke, I felt like the Bronx Zoo should have hired this guy because he obviously had a real hand in working with animals. So anyway, he got a baby tiger from somewhere in Minnesota and brought it to the projects and raised it in the projects. The sidebar, he had I didn't know they made these. He had a 5-bedroom apartment in the projects.
Yes. I thought they only went to 4.
There's 5
beds.
How did he not get kicked out by Nyxer?
Usually what happens is when you're on... I can promise you this is what happened. As the lease went down and whoever died...
His mom died.
So when his mom died and he was left at that lease, you can only... They were going to try and move you into a 1-bedroom.
Right.
Which there's virtually none.
None available. Got
there's like
you,
two in the whole project. And they ain't never...
Ever in history. Okay,
yes, they never come up.
Yeah.
So they can't move you until those units pop are available.
Which is
never.
Which is never. Right? Like, it'll be 25 years before one of them pop up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That was what I was wondering. Okay.
So he got this tiger and he raised it. You know, he had other animals too, but he raised this tiger and the tiger wandered through the apartment. Like, it was his pet. Like, the tiger wandered through his apartment regularly. I had heard about this. This is pre-social media. So, this was like street talk.
Forever,
So I heard about it in the barbershop long before the cops came and got him.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, yo, this nigga up in Drew got a tiger.
Well, I told you guys on Twitter that there was a SVU episode where Big Boy was a rapper who had a tiger.
Yeah.
They
took it from him, So apparently he would take the tiger out late at night, like 3-4 in the morning, and walk it around the playground, and people would be like, yo, Tiger Man's outside with the tiger or whatever, and then the neighbors would hear the tiger roaring and stuff, but you know, it was no snitching, so nobody ever said shit, because they didn't want the cops coming, I guess, just coming in the building.
Yeah.
And then the funny shit was, I had heard the rumor, because across the street from Drew on 143rd between 7th and 8th, there's a old folks home. It's on the corner of 7th, and I heard that the old folks would be like, there's a tiger in that building.
And
the murder man, Miss Janie, go sit down from there. We talk about some
take
damn
your
tiger.
Medication.
Earl told my tiger again, but it was actually a tiger. So
if y'all can see Sean laughing right now.
Oh my god. So he like lived with the tiger, and like he had the tiger for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Like the tiger was, at the time that they took the tiger was 450 pounds,
which is insane.
It was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
like, what are you feeding that thing?
Meat. He guess he was just getting meat from the butcher and the steaks and all that. So what happened was, this is how he got caught. For some reason, and I don't understand why he did this. I'd love to ask him. He found a kitten, and he brought the kitten into the house. Because he's an animal guy.
Yeah.
And the tiger, being territorial, attacked the kitten.
Right.
And he jumped in between the tiger to try to stop the tiger.
And the tiger bit him. Yeah.
So he got bit. He had to go to the hospital.
So I guess he thought maybe the tiger would, like, try to raise the kitten or something.
I guess. I don't know why he would think that. Yeah. So the tiger bit him. He went to the hospital. And I think with the wounds and all that,
they were like,
somebody dimed them out.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can go on YouTube and see. This is like a big news story.
I remember.
And so, like, the cops come to Drew and they get one of those, the riser kind of things that you use for construction. And there's a cop. It's on the news. A cop comes up and the tiger's like in the window.
Right.
And the cop is like comes up and sees the tiger's face and like jumps and shit.
Right.
And the tiger like tries to like scratch him, and he finally shoots the tiger with the tranquil gun. And it took a long time for the tiger to go under.
Right.
And there's all this footage of the tiger because just like laying around. It was a fucking 500-pound tiger. And so they took the tiger out, and then they arrested the guy. They gave him like a fine. And they put the tiger on a farm in Ohio.
Yeah.
And lived to 19 years old.
Yeah, these things only happen in the project.
Clearly, like there's a couple. So, I know I don't want to go too long on this, right? But, first of all, this nigga's Dr. Doolittle. First of all.
That's what I'm saying.
Second of all, who, like, nigga, who do you call to get a tiger? Like, what is that connection?
Pre-internet.
Like, nigga, we are talking, like, flip phone.
Exactly.
Like, who do you call?
I don't even know.
Like, I might know who to call to get, like, maybe some Jordans. You know what I'm saying? I might know a nigga to call to get a car, maybe get a
TV
watch.
And shit.
You know what I'm saying? My nigga.
I think what I'm assuming is, just like anything else, there probably is, like, a animal lover.
It's underground.
A network.
Yeah, underground network.
Like, yo,
sure,
some niggas got some, you know, got some tigers over here, got some ball constrictors.
And how did you get, like, nigga, did y'all drive? Like, I'm curious.
Either he drove out there and came back, or somebody drove it to New York.
Because I'm like, how did
fly it?
That's my point, yeah, right? Like, how does that work? Like, how much does that cost you? Like, what?
I'd love to meet this guy one day, but he's super low. He doesn't, like, do interviews and stuff. But I'd love to ask him, like, how did you convince them, like, with the neighbors? Because, first of all, the noise. Because the tiger's roaring and whatnot at all times of night. And the smell. It had the smell from the couch, from tiger shit.
Maybe, but still, if you had a 5-bedroom, you got room for the tiger to roam around. He clearly was, like, caring for it in some way. But also, like, you call the cops at night, you're like, ain't nobody coming.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Not really.
If you call cops, say, there's a tiger in here.
They're gonna think you're lying.
Darling, somebody play on this damn phone
again. Yeah, exactly. They came because the hospital said it.
Yeah.
But you call and be like, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, they're like,
come on. You call, they be like, whatever. Yeah. Nobody's coming to
So, yeah, so peace to Ming. You're a legend, and I'm glad you got to live your life out. Nice and comfortable out in the big farm in Ohio, and they buried him up in Westchester. You know, it's a big pet cemetery.
He got a beautiful headstone,
everything.
Sir, who did the body?
Exactly.
look just like himself.
He looked good. You know what I'm saying? So keeping the animal thing going. I just thought this other story was crazy. There was this woman, a black woman, which is shocking, who leaped the fence at the Bronx Zoo. Either yesterday or the day before.
Like, day before yesterday, I think.
Into the lion's enclosure.
Yep.
Fortunately for her, there's a moat in between. Like, you leap the fence, and then there's grass. Right. And then there's a moat. Fortunately for her, and you go, you went across that moat, now you with the lions. So she leaped over the joint and walked up to the moat part and was waving. And people got it on film and everything. And I don't even think... I'm just watching this film. I don't know this lady, but I don't even think she's crazy.
I don't think she was doing it for the gram. I think she was tripping on something.
You do?
I do, because she's like, I want to get closer. And then she's like dancing and doing all kinds. I think she was, maybe not on anything serious, but I definitely think she was high.
Maybe an edible or something.
Yeah, like, you have to be. And then she's trying to, like, dance to the tiger. And the tiger is looking at her like, bitch, are you crazy? Like, the tiger is really looking at her like.
It was a lion.
I mean, a lion. I'm sorry.
A male lion.
The lion. But the lion is really looking at her like, fuck are you doing?
Yeah. But like, it was actually two of them.
Right.
And they're both looking at her like, word, just come across this water and it's lit.
So she's absolutely crazy. Like, there's no fucking doubt in my mind that whether or not she's crazy.
She's definitely the friend that, like, when y'all go out, you got to watch her. Because if she starts doing drinking the most. or she takes the edible, she might go home randomly with somebody. Yeah. She might be on top of something.
Like, I've been on a safari in South Africa. I've seen a male lion
up close.
Ain't no joke. Up close enough for me to know I'm not getting anywhere near. Like, they are fucking majestic, dude. Like
huge.
They're fucking huge. Yeah. Like, that's crazy to me. There's no one that has any sort of... I can't wrap my head around going through school, right? Like, and thinking that you're just going to get close to a fucking lion.
A grown-ass lion.
That's just insane to me. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So she... I don't know. Did she get arrested?
I thought they didn't know what happened until after she did.
I think they did. I think they arrested her, but it was like a fine. It was nothing crazy. But they arrested her, and then they, the Bronx Zoo, obviously they released a statement because they don't want people feeling like they can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And obviously, the lion looked very confused, like... What, this is not the agreement.
Like what we have.
Like, this is not the agreement. This is not the deal that was structured when I, negotiated to come in this motherfucker.
Right.
So I think that the next person that does that, God bless you.
Yeah. And also, like, what that lady slept on is lions can jump real far.
Right.
If that lion wanted to jump over that moat,
pounce.
He just didn't feel like being bothered.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like,
ass is meatloaf.
He literally, it was like how you would look at somebody goofy on the street. Like, what the fuck is you doing,
B? Over the fence, nigga.
He from the Bronx, too.
What the fuck is you doing, son? Over the fence, son. You wildin'. So those are our animal stories for the day. I wanted to mention, this other thing. So there's this homeless couple. It's just interesting to me. I feel like if I say where they are, I'm diming them out. Am I diming them out if I say where they actually are?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think cops who care listen to this.
I mean, they seem to be, I don't want to say where they are, but they pretty comfortable. I'll tell y'all off air.
Okay.
They're in a kind of a nice-ish, pretty nice area for where they are. They're there all the time because I ride my bike past there. It's just very interesting to me, like, because it's a white lady who looks to be mid to late 50s. And she's with this guy. I don't know if the guy looks, he's like racially ambiguous, right? He could be maybe Puerto Rican. He could be black and Asian. You know, he's mixed up.
Vin Diesel, one of Vin
Diesel. Yeah, one of Diesel looking niggas, you know what I'm saying? And he's probably in his, he's younger than her. He looks to be like in his late 20s. But it's just interesting to me to watch. I think part of it is the area that they're in. And part of it is that it is a white lady. To what I've seen more than one time, the way people interact with them, and it's very like I put it like this. Today I rode my bike because it was super hot earlier, so I wanted to get it in.
Which shout out to global warming.
Yeah, because now you're not tomorrow's supposed to be like 50.
Yeah, it was fucking 90 degrees today.
Retarded. So, I rode my bike past there and I stopped there because I had to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And like they got like Trader Joe bags.
Mm.
So, like, people are bringing them
food
from, like, nice places.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, and they, I said, they're in this area. So, this is their area. And then, like, they're, like, wandering. This is, like, where they're living, I guess, until the weather breaks and it gets too cold.
Right.
But, like, it's almost like because it's just a white lady, people just seem to treat them really nicely.
Or is it because where they are, you think?
I don't know.
Because there's white homeless people all over the place. Like, is she a good-looking white lady? Is she, like, reasonably clean? Because it's not like there's a shortage of white homeless
people.
She's
not clean, but you could if you cleaned her up, she'd be, you know what I mean? Like right. if somebody got a deep conditioner.
You know what?
She could walk down the street and would just blend in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could see probably.
I mean, they could also have Trader Joe's bags because people recycle a lot of Trader Joe's bags.
True.
I'm just saying
because the bags. But my other point is Saturday I rolled past there too, and there was a white lady out there like kind of talking to her.
Oh, okay.
Like and like bringing her shit and like kind of kicking it with her. I just found it just a very interesting like their homeless experience. I'm sure is very different
than others.
From some other, you know.
I mean,
or maybe not. Maybe I'm tripping.
I guess it depends. I don't know shit about being homeless. God bless. Clearly, the only thing I know, fortunately, is what I've seen in observation in terms of actually living on the street homeless, because homeless can mean different things, right?
Yeah.
But you know, in New York, we don't have tent cities or anything like that, like they do in L.A. But the cops are pretty aggressive about you not having like visible encampments that are up day after day after day.
Okay.
But obviously there are some people, like we've all seen them, even on Fifth Avenue, like there are people there are a few people who I always knew to be around the Stony Building.
Yeah, yeah,
like, they were just always there, right? Yeah. Like that was their spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think like even as a homeless person, like you find a neighborhood where you can get a little change. And as a sober homeless person, I should also add that. Because I think a lot of it is about whether people think you're a threat or a menace. Or, like, there's a dude who is over by where I get my nails done by Sony on 55th Street, Blooming Nails. He's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a person who actually used to pay him to walk her dog, like a little Bichon.
Oh, okay.
And he used to be, like, out there chilling with the dog. Like, everybody knows. Like, I speak to him and I tell him, like, what's up? How you doing? You know, like, everybody knows him. He's always there.
Mm.
But he's definitely homeless. But he's, like, for 10 years.
But he's part of the neighborhood now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, look. I'm not trying to talk down. God bless if they're able to exist. I just, and I don't want nothing to happen to them. I hope they make it. You know, I just was just kind of interested in like, wow, they really got it down to where they got this little area and then people kind of seem to be taking care of them.
Yeah.
And again, the area they're in is, there's a lot of people who do okay, who can afford to like buy them a little something and it ain't going to hurt nobody. You know?
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about, a couple of the reality shows. I guess we could do
Have you been watching the Potomac reunion?
Yeah, I was about to say. Okay. Let's do Real Housewives of the Potomac because the season ended officially Sunday. So they had their 3-part reunion.
Well, this was part 2 on Sunday.
This is part 3
on Sunday. Right,
it's done. And the main issue this Sunday, and kind of ran through the season, was this whole thing with Michael
grabbing asses
and sexually harassing staff members,
right?
Production staff members. So what was your thoughts on it?
I think that Michael be grabbing asses. I think he thinks it's funny. I think he doesn't see the big deal. And because he doesn't see the big deal, that's why he is defending himself from so vehemently against these, against allegations of sexual assault. Because he actually gave himself away. First of all, he was deflecting and gaslighting like shit. Like, people be like, I saw you. He'd be like, no, you didn't. They'd be like, such and such told me. He'd be like, no, you didn't. But I heard you say it. No, you didn't. You
know, I never
like,
said that.
No, you didn't hear that. You were way on the other side of me. I was standing right next to you. You were drunk. You weren't. You were drunk. There's no way you could possibly remember that. Like the gaslighting was out of control. But he gave himself away at one point because when somebody was saying that they had visibly seen, they were talking about the ass grab he did on camera, like first season. He was like, yes, but this guy is accusing me of sexual assault, which is a much more serious thing. And Andy was like, nah, if you did it without consent, that's sexual assault.
You're
right.
Wrong.
So that, I was like, Michael did this shit. And the fact, like, there is no way that everybody has heard stories of you. Like, that's your thing, nigga. Like, it's your thing. Just admit that that's your thing, and you tried it with the wrong person, whether it was overtly sexual, whether you was on some freaky shit, whether you whatever, or whether you just think it's funny and it's not. Because even he kept saying, well, it's easier to be friends in Australia. Like,
yeah,
I don't
so
know.
It's kind of,
like,
yeah,
I think,
what we
and
do
he was like,
there.
He was like, men do that. They pat each other on the ass. And everyone was like, on the football
He
field?
Was trying to like, say, yeah, like a sport. It's like, yeah, sports it's is a different from.
Yeah, he was like, men do it all the time. And everybody was like, in sports, yeah. Like on the foot, not just like
and dog,
at
ain't
party.
Nobody cupping the bottom of your ass cheek, nigga.
Right.
And get the fuck out of here, Mike.
Right,
that
right.
I know Chris was looking at him like, if you don't get the fuck
right.
out of here,
there was too much deflection. I will say though that for all the heat the guys threw at him on the set, they kept the mics hot when everybody went backstage, and
yeah.
It seemed once they got backstage, it was like. Whatever's whatever. And Mike actually, because Chris was like, I'm going to get drinks with Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the only
Mike
one,
went over,
one of them didn't go. Who didn't go?
I don't think any. I think just Chris went.
Okay.
I think
Chris and maybe Juan.
Okay. But, I mean, maybe. But yeah. And Juan was basically like, I'm not participating.
Yeah, Juan
in
was
shit.
Being neutral.
But Mike, I thought it was also interesting that Mike went over to Giselle, who was like the main, aside from Candace, was like the main. Like object of his ire afterwards and was like, we're good. You just have to understand, like, it's bigger than this.
Like
there's
illegal.
More
there's
going
legal
on.
Issues, yeah.
And I think he meant his business dealings. He
I'm
was
sure.
like, there's more going on outside this. But I found it very interesting that he made it a point to go over her and be like, we're good. We're okay. When Giselle was like, Ashley are not good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like really interesting.
What'd you think, bro?
I find it interesting that the two athletes, took such a back seat.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that as athletes, you know, in that very super hyper masculine environment, right?
Yeah.
Like it's sort of a protection thing. And that was literally Chris's job. Like he's an offensive lineman.
Right.
Like his job is literally to
block,
protect,
yeah.
right? Block, protect.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it was very natural for them to, I definitely think they believe it. But they just didn't want to be on record
yeah,
and say, now I'm sure if Chris and Juan got together and them niggas was drinking yak in the backyard.
You know that nigga was
you, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they wouldn't do that publicly.
Yeah, because that's not what athletes do.
Yes.
Right.
And that is the persona of men, right? Of
yeah.
men. Like, you don't gossip. You don't
yeah.
participate in
that's
this.
Woman's
this is
business.
This is where we're drawing the
yeah,
line.
Absolutely.
That's really kind of what
absolutely.
It turned into. I mean, I always find it interesting because I think Michael is, I don't want to say a predator because that's a really harsh word,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's what we use for, like, R. Kelly and shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think that this is Mike's first rodeo in that the people that he's doing this to are people that he has contact with prior to that. Like, he doesn't grab, he's not doing that to a stranger.
He's like checking shit out.
He's right. seeing where the bar, you know, like, I feel like that's another step in intimacy and not just sex, but like, there's another step there having an intimate relationship with that person, whether it's, you know, whatever. Because it's not, intimacy is obviously not just sexual. But I think it's real, I think it's crazy to me, and I'm going to just flat out say it, that Andy, as the executive producer of
mm-hmm.
this show and of this franchise, gets to skate on something that is so wildly inappropriate. and skates with no responsibility, as though he has no bearing and no power, and he is...
He's, like, laughing about
and,
it.
And, right. and so it's kind of strange to me to see this happening, and to see it happening with men, because if this is a woman...
Whole different animal.
This is not up for discussion, dude.
Dude is fired and probably arrested.
This is so not up for discussion. If this is a woman, like the highest levels of corporate attorneys or BNA is on the phone that night.
Then they like, yo, how big is this check?
We're gonna have to what do we need to do? What's the strategy? What do we need to figure out? Like this skating of this, because I think people. Don't like the guy was upset, and the guy definitely felt the way.
Yeah,
and these are also kind of lower rung people.
Yeah, these are like production people. Cameraman.
These are production people, and listen, yeah. I'm not
and no
I'm,
disrespect. No
yeah,
dis-
yeah, yeah, I'm not dismissing them.
Yeah, yeah,
but to a degree, they're replaceable. Right. And they know that. Right. Because their work is often very sporadic. Right. Like they're freelancing a lot. They might work here for 6-7 months. Yeah. They might work there for 6-7 months. They move around. That's a very nomadic career. And so they know, oh, if I do this, I might be fucked up in the building. Fucked.
Yeah. I might be out of
Bravo. Or in the franchise.
Bravo jobs.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. Like. And that is like the textbook definition of this being a problem, like a systematic problem, dude. Yeah. So,
and that's what that's why, you know, agree or disagree with them how they were approaching it, or you want, but I think that's kind of what the and none of them said it, and maybe none of them had maybe thought it through or verbalized it, but you know, Karen was going super hard because she had been. Sexually abused in her past. Giselle was going super hard. Robin wasn't going that hard. Candace, I don't know how to count Candace because she's bandwagon-y. But my point to it is, I felt like, in some ways, it felt like I wish one of them would have said, if this was a woman, we wouldn't even be, this discussion wouldn't even be happening. Like, we would just be like, yo, this guy grabbed this woman, a makeup artist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she said that he grabbed. Matter of fact, a makeup artist, a hairstylist.
Right.
Jobs that tend to be woman jobs.
Well, his argument was he did it
to more than one person. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
He would have been finished.
Yeah, if he had done it to more than one person. And that was also part of like his cover of his argument was like, this is something men do with each other. But I also found it interesting that like. It was so obvious that Mike was lying and deflecting. Like, he was even saying that he had a running joke with one of Chris's friends.
Yeah.
And Monique was like, I specifically asked him. And he said, no, you don't.
Yeah, Hank.
Yeah. And he was like, I specifically asked him. And he said, no, you don't. And Michael never really had a comeback from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was really interesting to me. And I do think that the men probably feel like it's kind of much ado about nothing, because that is a gray area. A lot of them probably are just kind of like, is it really that big a deal if a dude has sued on? Like, are we really going to argue over this that much? I feel like Chris might even ask Monique to, like, chill. And then Ray brought up him grabbing Andy's butt. Like, that was about to be a big got you. And Andy was like, I don't even remember that. But, you know, I just think, like, of course Michael did it. Michael did it. He's trying to save face because of his financial and business interests. And because he can't admit he did it now because the case was thrown out because of lack of evidence, right? And homegirl is standing by her man because she just had a baby.
Yeah,
he's her financial
lifeline. She got a lot to lose, so she was gonna rock out.
Right.
So it got very uncomfortable, and the whole episode was basically about that. Did y'all watch Married to the Medicines?
No. I watched part of it.
The game was on Sunday.
Oh, that's what your boys pulled it off.
Yeah.
With Teddy?
Yeah.
Your defense is crazy.
Yeah, I was locked in. Like, I literally, that was like one of the games I didn't switch the channel at all.
Yeah, nah, I watched, you know, a good chunk of it too, and I was like, man, I know New Orleans is rocking that night.
Yeah, I miss Married. But yeah. I watched a portion of it, maybe like 20 minutes.
Yeah, they introduced the new character this week. She's
Buffy.
A person. Yeah, Buffy, who's a married to a psychiatrist. Apparently the guy does really well. He's got several practices, and she's an accountant, so she does taxes and apparently that's a family business that she's keeping running. So they look like they do really well together. She definitely was, you know, a bit over the top, trying to make her place known and her interest known into the thing. I'm assuming they're going to try to introduce her as a new character to maybe take the place of Shamari.
Of who?
Ronnie DeVoe's. Oh, wait,
you're talking about Married to Medicine. Yeah, I was like, what?
That's Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah, sorry. But I guess they...
What's that girl name?
They're not replacing Shamari. They brought Kenya back.
Oh, yeah, but Kenya back. And on Married to Medicine, I guess they're not replacing anybody. They're just bringing... Oh, well, I guess Lisa, I guess, if you go back far enough. But whatever. And they had Jocelyn from Love and Hip Hop.
Now, why was Jocelyn there?
Because apparently Jocelyn and Buffy are... friends.
Oh.
This is the story Buffy said. She says that she does Jocelyn's taxes. And I'm just telling you the story. That she said. I ain't saying it's true or not. Okay. She says she does Jocelyn's taxes, and from that, they've become friends. And so Jocelyn was on the show, and they had a party at Buffy's house, and so all the other Married to the Medicine women were like there in the backyard, and they were all pretty excited to meet Jocelyn. Like, oh shit, hey Jocelyn, oh my god, she's way prettier in person, and da da da, you just had a baby, and blah blah. And then so Toya says something to the effect of, you know, isn't being a mother like a tough job? And Jocelyn's like, I don't look at it as a job. It's just, you know, my mother's just what I do. And Toya's like, no, but it's not. Toya's not arguing with her. She's just like, well, you know, to me, it's a job. It's a lot to do to raise children and blah, blah, blah. And Jocelyn's like, I don't look at it as a job. So Jocelyn kind of starts, like, jabbing a little bit. And Toya's kind of taken aback. Like, I just think, you know, okay, we disagree. And then Jocelyn says something. And she's like, okay, well, you know, you keep it moving and keep going on and partying and not paying your taxes. And then Toya's like, damn.
But also, Jocelyn ain't exactly mother of the year out this motherfucker.
Toya's like, damn. But Toya, to her credit, didn't really come back at her. She just was kind of like, I'm not even doing this shit. So she got up and walked away, and there was a whole thing in the bathroom with Toya and the other women, and Buffy comes in, and Toya's like, yo, basically like, what's up with your girl? Like, why is she wilding on me?
Right.
And then Eugene comes in, he knocks on the door, and he comes in. He said, hey, this girl just cursed me out. And they're like, what? And he said, yeah. He said, the girl comes over, and she's like, yeah, fuck your little hoe wife. And Eugene's like, yo, ho, I ain't gonna let you sit and call my wife a hoe.
Right.
And Jocelyn says basically like, well, fuck you, nigga. Like, she said, goes ham on him. And he's like, who is this person, like, wilding on me? So, I don't know if Jocelyn's gonna be on the show anymore. I got a feeling that they're gonna...
I'm trying to figure out what was the point.
I don't know why they brought her.
Jocelyn ain't married to
and she doesn't
man,
fit to any. She doesn't,
a doctor.
It doesn't fit in any of this
not,
world.
Not a.
Brian, I'm gonna let you.
Not somebody. Not somebody on WebMD.
Yeah, she just doesn't fit.
Not somebody who does billing in a doctor's office.
And these
not,
and these women have enough kind of drama between them in their own way, mm-hmm. where they don't need like that. Super like, fuck you, bitch. They don't need that energy, really.
It's not that show. And Jocelyn is not the kind of character you can drop in a bunch of grown women.
Professional women.
Like, that's the key. Professional motherfuckers.
Yeah, doctors and shit. Yeah.
Don't make their living off of appearances and on the ground. Yeah. Like, and no shot. Like, I fuck with Jocelyn for
who
she is.
This is not that.
This is not that.
Yeah, so it was.
I'm not even sure who thought
this was fly.
It made sense.
Yeah, I don't get it. The other thing that happened on there, there was more about Scott and Contessa. I just find this storyline very interesting. So, like I said last week, Contessa is in school. She went to she wants to get her degree in mental health.
I don't even know like the people who've been there since the beginning.
She's trying to get a degree in it's MPH. I think it's mental professional health something. Right. She wants to end up being like a surgeon general or something at some point.
Right.
But anyway, so she goes to school, but she goes away to Nashville to Vanderbilt, and so she's having a lot of issues because she's not home like 3-4 days a week, and so this episode. It kind of came up again. Like, she came home for a little bit. Her and her husband took the kids
up. I don't want to cut you off, but I gotta say, it felt very heavy-handed. It felt very staged.
It did.
The kids felt very prepped. That did not sound like kid talk.
Normal kid talk.
It didn't.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
And it felt very like, this is, we're going to make this your thing. Like, I think it's their thing. Like, I don't, let me be clear again.
But they put a little hot sauce.
They're putting a little sauce on this one now. Yeah. Okay. And honestly, man, like, and then I'll let you finish.
Yeah, real quick. So then they go sit down and they have the whole talk or whatever. And one of the things I found interesting, and I don't think, no, this part was staged or not. So the next day, the kids, they were going to school. I don't know who Scott got them ready, whatever, but they were all ready to go. So they were running a little late. So Scott's like, oh, okay, we're running a little late, y'all. We got to go. Grab your food. Like, we'll take it in the car because we got to go. We went to school late. So meanwhile, while he's saying this, Contessa's like cooking food. Like, and laying it on their big, they have an island in the kitchen. He's laying on his food, and she got this bowl of fruit, and he's like, oh, come, we gotta take this food to go. And meanwhile, she's still cooking, so the kids are sitting and eating, and he's like, we gotta go. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like they're battling, she's battling with him for the parent shit, and he's like, they're late, like, why are you making them a huge breakfast to sit down and eat when I just told you we gotta go.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's kind of like this constant push-pull with...
I don't even think it's a push-pull. I think she's absolutely... This is my opinion, mm-hmm. just from the show. I don't know these people at all. She's absolutely undermining him.
Absolutely.
She has... The words that she uses specifically about him and his parenting...
It's terrible.
Really bad. Like, terrible. Really bad. And I would never think that a wife would say that. Like... There's always an agreement with the parents to put on a united front in front of the kids. And, you know, she's using words like, well, you know, daddy's not affectionate and I wish he would, you know, he would hug more.
How old are these kids?
The oldest one, I think, is like
11, 9, and 5.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, yo, he's fucking working a full-time gig.
Nigga's a surgeon.
Yeah, like, you have no... There's no help at the house. He's working full-time and carrying the load when you're not there. Like, the least you could fucking do is be a little more... just open to the fact that he doesn't have everything down pat. Like,
he doesn't have the bandwidth.
Like, my nigga, like, this just happened.
Just happened.
Like, it's not
this
like...
This is our first semester.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. This is like 4 years going and he's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, this just happened, and then you try to make it seem like he's saying, yo, I don't want you to do this, and you're just missing the complete nuance of the fact that, yo, my nigga, for like a week... You're gone.
Exactly.
You're not home. I don't. So forget the kids, right? Like, let's just put the kids to the side. Because often married couples, the kids become like this priority.
Yeah.
And the absolute foundation of that family are you two.
Absolutely.
And now, what are you guys?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're dating fucking, on the weekend.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are not some fucking old fogey couple.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it's not even just about sex. Like, he might just fucking want his wife to talk about his day or to bounce some shit off of her.
Or watch their favorite shows or whatever.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's easy for her to be over there alone in a quiet ass house. Like, I totally understand that. But it's almost like she's taking this as though, like, he's hating on her and he's not stepping up for his responsibilities or he's doing something to the kids, like he's harming them in some sort of way. And it's just like, yo, you're like, even if that's staged, that shit should never be said in public. Ever.
Yeah. And this is weird because obviously they live in Atlanta and you know, there's Emory, there's like other really, really good schools in the city that you could have gone to. For the fact that you wanted to go, you know, a couple hundred miles away, it's like, well, you could have went to school like right here and done this shit. Like, so what's really good? It doesn't look like it's gonna get better. You know what I'm saying? It's obviously it's a strain on their relationship. It's a strain on the children. And also, like, what we are forgetting is, like, how many nights has he had to deal with them kids crying because mommy ain't there at 9 o'clock at night when she's up there and they coming in the barrel like, I need mommy, he's like, damn, I got to, you know, and again, he's the dad. He's got to do what we got to do. But he's looking at it like, the fuck? I ain't signed up for this shit. Like, you could, you know, so it's just a very interesting, that to me is the most kind of interesting storyline of the season.
And that little boy better not answer a grown up what another time. I'm gonna tell you that.
Yo, do they not teach kids that no more?
Her kids. Y'all niggas always say I be hard, but her kids is a little bad. A couple of them.
Say what?
You could not in my house answer.
What? I don't say what now.
I don't either.
I think I'm all the way grown.
like to anybody. Yeah.
Yes.
Not to butt, not to literally.
Like that makes my skin crawl.
Yo, man.
Like at the most casual, I say what's up, but what always sounds defensive to me. It always sounds like a challenge.
But it was because the kid's head was down.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even looking up.
Yeah,
so
he was
almost annoyed that they were calling, because he was playing soccer.
Yeah.
So he was almost annoyed that they made him stop doing what he was trying to do and come over there and participate in this.
Yeah. So it was it was a trip. So I'm, you know, obviously gonna keep watching. It's been pretty interesting. I wanna talk a little bit about this on the Super Bowl.
Halftime.
Yes. So, as we talked about earlier, you know, a few episodes ago, Jay-Z, well, Roc Nation, has taken over the halftime entertainment for the Super Bowl. So, the Super Bowl in 2020, next February, is in Miami. So, they announced about a week or so ago, week 10 days ago, that the performers are Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. Now, we don't know if that means... Within those performances, they'll be bringing people out.
Of course they will.
I'm sure. I feel like we'll probably get
we'll probably get Khaled.
Because Khaled's Roc Nation.
Yeah.
But
Ja Rule? With J-Lo? I'm kidding.
No, she brought him out when she won his Vanguard award.
I'm saying, I definitely don't think she's going to bring him out to the Super Bowl, but I'm not saying that as a shot.
We saw that from far.
Who knows? But anyway, so Luke Skywalker got on Instagram and the last couple of days is going kind of ham on Jay-Z, and his thorn in his side is the Super Bowl's in Miami. Jennifer's from the Bronx. Shakira's from, what's she from, like Venezuela or Argentina?
She's Colombian.
Colombian or something. So he's like, you don't have any homegrown Miami. You haven't let any homegrown Miami talent as of now. You're not Jay-Z. He's talking to Jay-Z specifically. You're not letting any of this homegrown talent grace the stage. We have all these artists that come from the Miami area, and you haven't talked about any of them coming on the stage. And this has been kind of like a little bit of a, you know, debate. Should it be homegrown? Should it not be homegrown? And now we can spin back a little bit to last year when everybody was quote unquote boycotting, and that's a whole different discussion.
But they did try to put a bunch of Atlanta artists in the mix.
That was my point. But Gladys
and
Knight
Big was in there.
Gladys Knight, who's born and raised, sung the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Big Boy had a performance. He brought Sleepy Brown out with him.
Right.
I think those are the only two.
No, there was somebody else. Aren't the twins from Georgia?
Oh yeah, they are from Atlanta.
Haley and Chloe.
They are from Atlanta. Yes. Yeah. So. They perform, so they did infuse some Atlanta talent. Maybe not the Atlanta talent that Black Twitter or some of the masses like to see, like Jermaine or T.I.
But the catch is, and I said this, like, you have one half of Black folks complaining that halftime wasn't Atlanta enough, and the other half not wanting, and actually some of the same people who were complaining about, who were saying we need to be boycotting, also being mad
that T.I. and
there weren't Atlanta, or something like, which...
Yeah.
Which is it, though?
Yeah, which side is it? Exactly.
Which is it? But also, the thing about Super Bowl performances is that the Super Bowl is only ever in, like, 10 cities ever, right?
Yeah, but it's not even 10, really. Yeah.
So,
I will say, Goodell has put a thing in to move it around a lot more, especially with teams, a lot of the cities that have newer stadiums, which is why Atlanta got elastic, because they just opened up the stadium. So it will move around more than it did.
But the thing is, like, this is the third Miami Super Bowl in 20 years. Granted, it's the first one since, because there was one in 99, there was one in...
2009.
Yeah, 2009, and then now there's this one. So, yeah, literally...
I'm sorry, 2010.
Third one in 20 years. And granted, it's the first one of, like, this immediate kind of, like, social media era, for real. I get what Luke is saying. And Luke is in this space right now of, like, y'all gonna stop acting like I'm not old.
I'm not an OG.
And I'm not mad at that. Like, Luke deserves that. He's been very much for the past couple of years on some giving me my
flowers now.
Yeah. I respect that. However... Black people ain't the Super Bowl demo. We're a core football demo. But the Super Bowl is for sponsors and a bunch of white people. And, like, Middle America, them motherfuckers. And the thing is, like, they are, yes, they want to attract people for the ratings, but they also want to be able to sell their ad space. And they're probably going for that soccer demo with Shakira and J-Lo to create kind of like a global...
Latin.
You know, Latin.
They're not even kind of.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're
right,
doing.
Right, right.
It's not Latin, no kind of.
The thing is, like, Latin actually, even though hip-hop is still the biggest genre, Latin is the biggest emerging genre in music right now. Like,
so I'm wondering
it's the
Jennifer
biggest
and the...
growing, and it's the biggest growing touring business right now.
So it's going to be very interesting to me...
Even though J-Lo's not to, really a Latin artist, but...
To see if Jennifer... Again, I think Khaled would get a shot because he's Roc Nation, right? Now, what right. he does with his shot, I don't
but
know.
But also, Khaled has a song with Jennifer. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. But I, yeah. that's to say, I don't know if Khaled will just be with Jennifer, or will Khaled be like, okay, give me, like, you know, 2 minutes and let me bring out, you know,
whomever
Trick
else.
Or Trina.
Yeah.
Or will J-Lo say, Khaled, that's cute, but maybe I'm going to bring out J Balvin. Because of the Latin thing. Or maybe I'm going to bring out Bad Bunny because of this Latin thing. Or maybe I'm going to bring out some of these other Latin artists that are massive. You know, what's it, the girl from Fifth Harmony?
Oh, Camila.
Camila Cabrera.
Jennifer can't know one Camila. I get what you're saying. But J-Lo's biggest hits have...
Are features.
Yeah. So she's got to bring some people. Yeah, she can't just make some shit up. She's still got to do it her show.
Yeah. That's normal.
She's
going to
bring out the locks.
But
that would be kind of hot,
actually. With all respect to Luke, who is a pioneer for real, who was really about this hip-hop shit.
You can't have Duda Brown on the Super Brown stage. Super
like,
Brown.
Nigga, like, no.
you can't?
No.
You can't have Pop Your Pussy at 8:30.
You can't be like...
On Sunday football.
No, because you got to start it with everybody pop them things, shake them. That's not going... You can't do that.
So forget... Luke wants to perform.
Because it also goes into head, and my head. Like,
let me just say this. I don't think Luke had a desire to perform. But I do think Luke
he wants
feels,
to see his peoples.
Not just his peoples. He feels a hard obligation to the city of Miami.
Absolutely. Right.
What Luke feels is that people come to Miami and they take.
And they don't give back.
And they don't give.
Which is fair.
And that's not that's not an argument that anybody can really, I don't think, can counter. Right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, people come down there for the hot shit and whatever.
Party, South Beach.
Yeah, and they do all of that shit, but they ain't really giving back to Miami.
Because there's also like three Miamis. Yes. There's like the super black Miami. There's like the international, you know, Latin Miami. Yeah. And then there's like the electronic party dance shit. Yeah. And, it's four. Because then there's also the super rich, I'm going to Ball Harbor.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say. Then you got the, super money, long bread.
Star Island.
And, and all of them are legit, like, established Miami cultures. It just depends on which Miami you know.
But Luke is definitely going for the black.
But which is fine. I'm not arguing... I just feel like he's being, let me just say this, with all due respect, he sounds crazy. He sounds crazy.
Right. Now tell me why you say that.
And I'm saying that because if I ever had to have that conversation, I could stand in that. Like, my nigga, you sound...
Tell me why you say that.
Because the Super Bowl has... Miami has had a Super Bowl in the past, recently.
Yeah.
I actually been to a Super Bowl in Miami, and Gloria Estefan performed.
Which made perfect sense.
Right, which makes perfect sense. Right. The Super Bowl does not go out of their way. First of all, it's not a hometown concert.
Right.
It's just not a hometown concert, my nigga. It doesn't work that way.
Mm.
Okay, sometimes it plays out that way, okay? But also, it is a fucking terrible game to go to as a fan.
It is.
You know why? Because it's tons of corporate people. They're no fans.
They get all the
good seats. Yes. The guy that you think of a fan at the Super Bowl is not that guy at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right?
He's
like
the guy that worked at American Express.
Exactly. He won. He had the highest sales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He, you know, the enterprise rent-a-car, regional manager, all of that shit. Yeah. That's who's at the Super Bowl.
They're all corporate partners.
And this is also, this is also the biggest TV show of the year.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I'm sorry, my nigga, Middle America is not sitting there to watch Luke.
Scarred.
dude pop that pussy. They just not.
Or the wise trick and them come out
They not. And I'm not saying that Black Miami don't have a place. Mm-hmm. But this idea that Luke has, that everybody that ever comes into Miami has to now pay some sort of tax or pay some sort of homage. Like, nigga, you've been moving around New York. Right. And niggas respect you, and they love you, and they fuck with you. Ain't nobody making you pay no tax. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. That's just crazy talk, fam. That's crazy talk. And to throw that on Jay, like, what, nigga, what did you think Jay was going to do? You was going to Meek Mill at the fucking Super Bowl?
Right.
But see, this is the thing. Rightly or wrongly. And this is where it gets very murky. And I thought it was murky.
People thought it was going to be some nigga shit once they said it was Roc Nation.
Or even not nigga shit, but just like the fact that Jay-Z was put in place to like run this halftime entertainment thing. Right. I think a lot of people felt like, okay, this is an entryway for some of us who would never ever get a shot to maybe get a shot. Like, and again, niggas have to know their place. They ain't gonna bring out, you know, Jackie O. No disrespect to Jackie O. But like, you know what I'm saying? But like, or Kaya, you know what I mean? Again, no disrespect to Kaya. I don't want no beef for nobody. But I think I'm just saying, I think that people thought that this might be a shot for a Luke, or as an example, down this in Miami, to get a shot. And I think I think that the other thing is, I think that because of last year's Atlanta debacle, I'm going to call it a debacle, but like you said, what I mean with like, do we boycott? Do we not boycott? Yeah. Niggas was on social media taking shots at Gladys Knight. Yeah, which was like, ridiculous. Are you fucking insane? Like, this woman, are you crazy? She's a what are you? But like, again, that's what I'm calling it a debacle. Okay. I'm just saying because of just the mixed messages.
The mess of the
mess. Mess of the messages. I feel like that kind of that, along with Kaepernick and everything, spurned because we found out that Jay-Z had been talking since then.
Right.
I think a lot of that spurned Jay-Z getting Roc Nation getting this slot, right? So now that they get this slot, news is like, oh, I bet. Okay, Hov, what we gonna do?
But this is
sorry, let me just, okay, so here's the problem with that. If you think that you have not paid attention to any Super Bowl halftime performance
at all,
ever in your entire life. McCartney still does Super Bowl halftime. You know what I'm saying? Like,
But my point, I'm sorry to cut you off. My point is, I think that we all have paid attention to the Super Bowl. And we love when Prince did it.
But you told me to let you finish. Now you gotta let me finish.
All right.
Even when MTV was producing them, which was the last time they were hot, it was massive pop stars. You have to be able to control a stadium audience. You cannot just put anybody on that stage. You can't. I don't give a fuck if Hov is producing it. I don't care if fucking JD is producing it. You have to control a state. It is a stadium show.
It's not even just the stadium. It's 80 fucking million viewers at home.
Not this is a everybody huge, like, can do the Super Bowl
like,
stage.
Like, niggas ain't even tuning in to y'all at the fucking BET Awards.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's no shot. That's no shot. I'm saying you niggas are pulling a one at the BET Awards. You think you're moving the needle for these? There's no synergy. There's no symbiotic relationship with the artists that he's thinking and talking about.
Right.
Other than, like you said, Khaled. Khaled makes sense.
Maybe Pitbull.
Pitbull. Yeah. Pitbull makes sense for brands like Pepsi and Papa. Like, do you get what I'm saying here? Yeah. Like, this is not.
And they have a show that's high enough. And that's the other thing. Now high all energy. Hip-hop stars have a show that's high enough.
He said he
like
mentioned,
Missy made all the sense.
He mentioned Flo Rida, and again, this is no disrespect to Flo Rida, who's got great fucking records.
But he's got a boring show.
Those records are like 10 years old now, my nigga. You understand what I'm saying? And J-Lo is moving the needle between the Hustlers movie, between her residency in Vegas.
No, Jennifer hot.
She's moving the needle.
Mm-hmm. And Shakira, she can put on a high production
Shakira
show.
Is going to move the needle. Like, that. I'm not... Like, the idea, man, that you thought Jay-Z is a billionaire. Like, when was the last time y'all two sat and talked?
Right.
Yeah.
But also,
like, that's not like that.
Roc Nation is a Live Nation company.
Yes,
it's Live Nation.
And this idea that you, if you thought that Roc Nation being in charge of that Super Bowl halftime show was going to lead to this enormous amount of opportunities.
I think niggas thought that.
But you know what? That has been the essence of the problem.
Right.
It's been the essence of the problem with black capitalists selling black people on this shit that once I get it, We all got it, and this idea that once somebody get it, they gonna pull us up. We good. We in here. Yeah. Like you didn't even
change the system for the inside.
Yeah, it's all that other chess.
But that was my issue, and I kept kind of tweeting this, you know, into the wind because I never heard it. When Hov got this thing, everybody's like, "No, we gotta wait and see what Hov's gonna do." And I kept saying, "He ain't gonna do shit." And I don't mean that as a disrespect to Hov, but like, stop thinking that Hov. I had a thing with Artemis Gordon today, and it wasn't no beef because I like him. Like we just were just talking, and he's like, we gotta wait and see who else is gonna be. Put the loop thing up there, and he said, but we gotta wait and see who else Hov was gonna bring in. He hasn't finished announcing everybody yet.
I said,
fam, it ain't no wait and see. Right. Like this is what it is. I said, first of all, the Super Bowl halftime. It's not like it's a concert.
It's a few minutes long.
Yeah, it's about 12, 15 minutes.
So like Shakira and Jennifer alone have enough records between them to do that without nobody. So maybe Shakira wants to bring in Ricky Martin, and maybe Jennifer does throw Khaled a shot. So, but then there ain't gonna be no room for nobody else. So, like, don't wait and see, because you're gonna wait and see, and it's gonna be done with.
Most you get, like a good example of the most you can squeeze into a Super Bowl performance is the year that we had B and Bruno as part of Maroon 5. Maroon 5 was last year as part of Coldplay, right?
Or
Katie bringing Missy out. But the reason Katie had to bring Missy out was because Katie couldn't feel, like, the level of production. That's the other thing. It's not even so much just about the artist. The level of production of a show, Gaga fucking ripcorded in from the fucking bowl of the stadium. Diana Ross got in a helicopter.
Trina
fucking,
could get in the helicopter. Like, Trina could ripcord
you
in.
You have to have a team who can put together that production.
There's also a ton of opportunities outside of just that halftime performance.
True.
And I know that people see the halftime performance as the real goal.
If Luke don't put a Miami concert together, then everything he said is void.
And again, I got massive respect for Luke.
Yeah,
but you know, he even talked about this a little bit with Wayne when Wayne was really popping and down there in Miami, and it was. There's always like this thing that he has, and I gotta be honest, man, it feels like old dude. It feels like old dude with a chip on his shoulder. And I've been around, I've traveled. Like, niggas everywhere respect Luke. They fuck with him. Not like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't understand why he has this level of niggas don't treat him like Sade from Atlanta or something. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand what he wants from people. It's like he wants everybody, every time you land in Miami, you gotta kiss the ring.
You gotta check in.
I think he wants people to, because the other thing is that Luke has been big homie to a lot of Miami artists, but Skywalker Records itself didn't cultivate a lot of talent, right? So I think
he had Pitbull from the beginning.
At the beginning. And I mean, he helped put Khaled on at the beginning, too.
Absolutely.
But he's not, he doesn't have a label legacy like Jay or even JD or even Puff. I think that's what fucks with him a little bit. Mm. Like, not so much a kiss the ring thing, but like you said, he feels responsible for his talent or for talent that he helped and trying to get them on. But Miami shit, like, it's hits, but it's like a niche thing. You know what I mean? Like, I love Luke hits. I'm not ever paying to go see a whole Luke set today in 2008.
And again, man, I don't, I don't, and
or
look, look, the game is the game. I just think it was, I think it was silly for people to think. And like I said, when we first initially heard about this merger, that I said, it would be irresponsible for a man who is the CEO of a company like Roc Nation
and partnership with Live Nation
to say no to this. Yes. It's wildly irresponsible.
Of course. You got to.
Right? Like, and he really might kind of, you know, and this is no disrespect to Jay, but like he kind of might be a bit of a figurehead right now in terms of this whole process and this whole ordeal.
I think a lot of it is, I think you're absolutely
right. And I just think that Luke, you know what I'm saying, like making that the ire, like of his, you know, rage, man. I don't know, man.
I think there's a lot of people who should. What disappoints me about Luke's statement, not to stay on this too long, is that Luke is one person who should know the business better. I understand the outrage from people who think they know how the sausage is made, but don't. And there's a lot of those people. They think they know how the music industry works, and they still don't. Like, Live Nation is probably doing the heavy lifting.
Of course they are.
But Luke should know better.
And to me, why not go in and figure out how to get your peoples on? Like, that to me is a much more powerful thing than going on the gram and saying, yo, you got to fix this shit. Yeah. It's you saying, yo, you should give dot, dot, dot. They available. They here. They ain't going to call. Like, nigga, get an assistant to draw up a little budget. Nigga ain't going to cost, ain't gonna cost but $10,000 to get them there. Do this, do that. Boom. Yeah. Here you go.
So we'll see. Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. I would have liked to see Doodle Brown on halftime, but that's just me.
Yo, we got it on the BET Awards a couple years ago. Let's
just real quick, and I don't want to go off on a tangent and shit, but yo, your man in the last few days has been so cuckoo for Trump? Cocoa Puffs. Oh, my God.
Because it's unraveling. Like we said last week.
Did you see the shit the nigga said? They said the nigga would try to build a moat and put alligators and shit in
there. And wanted, like, to put coil at the top and told people to shoot in their legs and slow them
and
down.
And put alligators and snakes in the water.
And I 100% believe he said all that shit.
Absolutely.
Because the nigga has never read yet a single document about what he can and can't do as president of the United States.
He's just up here winging it.
He's like, whatever. He thinks he's a superhero. He wants to be a dictator. That's actually what it is. Trump thinks he's a dictator. But he didn't say that recently. He actually said it a while ago. It came out in a book.
Yeah.
Because the good and interesting thing is that almost nobody is left from the original Trump White House. And apparently they were not super tight with the NDAs, and people are starting to talk.
People was talking shit. Okay.
Yeah, so people are starting to like talk about how unhinged he is and what's going on behind the scenes. And I think, like you kind of said last week, some people are kind of scared. Like, somebody got to stop this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But also, since last week, things are continuing to move very quickly.
On the impeachment.
Giuliani's been subpoenaed.
He's been... Giuliani definitely got some type of dementia, because he'd be saying shit within 3 seconds. He'd be like, I ain't say that shit. Yeah, I said that shit. No, I ain't say that shit. He's like, nigga, you wait, what?
And apparently...
You see him reading his text on the TV? Like, nigga, what are you doing?
So apparently, Trump doesn't even actually pay Giuliani. It's just like, they've looked out for each other for so long.
It just, yeah.
They just let...
On some New York shit.
They
like,
just let Rudy just get up. I don't think Giuliani even actually advises Trump, for real. I think he sits in the room and listens, and then goes on TV as his figure.
And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just say that shit.
Yeah.
Yo, the shit is...
And apparently, like, the shit he does drives Trump crazy, but they're just like, they can't control him.
And now the, even, like, the leaders, like, last week was the head of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Today was the president of Finland. And you can see these guys sitting next to him when he's spazzing out. Like, the Finland dude today was like, Trump was sitting next to him. And somebody said, I guess it was a Finnish reporter was like, Finland is one of the happiest countries in the world, and and then Trump leaned over to the guy and was like, I know Finland's very happy, and he kind of hit him on his leg that, and the dude the president of Finland like did like that, like, don't touch me, fam.
Ooh.
And then like Trump is spazzing, and he's literally, there's memes now, because he's literally looking in the camera like, yo, get me the fuck out of here. Like, your
like
man
the office or something.
Dead ass. Like, you go online, you'll see a gang of memes of him being like, yo, please get me the fuck away from this dude. Like, so, like, it's to the point now where, like, first of all, no major leaders even coming here.
Yeah.
And then the ones from the smaller countries are coming here and being like, yo, get me the fuck out of here. So, like, I don't know. But this,
I think Trump has only had, like, three state dinners his entire presidency, which is crazy considering that we're at the end of the first term.
I was thinking about that, like, if you think about Obama's 8 years and you remember, like,
they had, like, 1 year or something.
They had state dinners. Yeah. There was always, like, he did the Medals of Freedom. He always... Yeah. There was always kind of,
He do the Medals of Freedom and all that shit. He gave one to Bob Cousy.
Oh, yeah. So
he doesn't
do...
He do them in the Oval,
though. And he doesn't do the Kennedy Center honors.
Yeah, he don't do the Kennedy... Like, Obama...
Well, that's because nobody was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, also because he doesn't care about the arts.
Well...
Yeah.
A part of that is he didn't want to have egg on his face
when nobody showed up.
Right. Yes. He has to look crazy. He doesn't give a fuck about the arch. You're right. But he does give a fuck about people loving him and applauding him and seeming like he's the big man on campus, except most of the people who are in the arts are giving him the fucking middle finger.
Yeah. But you would even see, like, more stuff with Obama, like, say, I don't know, like, there was a huge, you know, maybe a tragedy, and so he would bring the people to the wall. Yeah. Like, you would see that, like, there's zero of that shit.
Trump does some of that, but he does it on a lesser scale, and he does it with shit that we don't really give a fuck about. Mm-hmm. That's actually what it is. He does it with stuff that we don't give a fuck about, and he's much more contained. He's much more controlled about his visibility. Like, for example, with the White House, period. When was the last time there was a White House press conference?
It's been
aside from him in the Rose Garden,
him yelling over helicopters,
right? Shit. Like, there's another press director, but they don't do nothing. They don't do that shit anymore. Like, he's moved a whole bunch of stuff into the Oval. He's like, things that used to happen in other places, they don't have events there.
Yeah.
First Lady is never around. Well, like, yeah.
That's also why his conferences or meetings with foreign leaders always go left, because that's the only time that the press got him.
Right.
So they're like, sorry, I know you're here, fam, but I need to ask you the question, because I ain't gonna get this again to the next. So that's why the leaders in the music sitting there like, fuck am I here for? Because all you're doing is going after this dude, because again, if they don't go after him right there,
they can't get him.
That's it. Because even when he does the shit in front of the helicopter, that's a very small group.
Right.
A lot of them people who are in that room are not allowed to do that.
Right.
Because he tries to kind of pick and choose who he thinks is going to be nice to. So your man is bonkers, B. Let's talk a little bit about Amber Geiger, the police officer in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
who was convicted of murder.
Amen.
And it came down today that she got sentenced to 10 years.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I was hoping for a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel fucked up to say it, but I guess almost like I'm at the space now where, like, some of these people get off, I guess 10 is better than 0. 10 is
better than 0, right? And also,
it's fucked up, though, because this was as open and shut as you could possibly get. Like, this dude is in his crib, minding his business, getting to eat some ice cream. Shorty comes to the door. They have those knob, what is it called? Five keys.
But the door was ajar.
Yeah, so she hit it a couple times and it was like, rrr, rrr.
No, the door was ajar.
Oh, I thought the shit didn't open.
The door was ajar, which the prosecution conceded that the door was ajar.
Oh, I thought his shit didn't open.
It was slightly cracked.
Oh, so he didn't close his shit all
the
way.
So she literally walked in, and the way, I will say this, the way the layout is, because he was in the dark watching TV. He wasn't, the lights weren't on. He was in the dark watching TV. The way the layouts are, you know those apartments where, like, literally every layout is the same.
Mm.
So you walk in, because I was thinking, like, is their living room arranged the same way? But when you walk in the kitchenette. And it's like a kitchenette with a counter, with a built-in counter. So when you first walk in, spatially, I will argue that if you're walking in the dark, and, like, every entryway is the same for that floor plan, you're not really looking all the way to where's the couch, where's the, you know what I mean? Like, where's the whatever, because you're walking in the kitchen, the counter, whatever. But it is clear that, you know, she was distracted.
Yeah, she was sexting.
She was sexting. She
said he had a mat in front of his shit. She had no mat. I think he had carpet on his floor. They didn't have carpet on her. Like, it was
And with the door being ajar, maybe she was already, like, somebody's in my apartment. I don't know. I can't speculate on all that, but enough shit went wrong. Like, even in how she handled things afterwards, like, she had medical aid in her. She still had her backpack from work. She had gauze and all kinds of things to, like, help limit the bleeding, give him aid.
And she called the union rep 20 minutes before she called 911.
Like, she did, like, everything she did after the fact was just, like, that part was completely, like, unexplainable and unforgivable. But I am glad that she got the 10 years because, and I will say, so Judge Tammy, I can't remember her last name, but a black woman was the judge. The jury, which is actually amazing in Texas, 5 black people, 5, I'm not sure of the exact makeup, but 5, like, Asian and Hispanic people or Latino people. Yeah, and 2 white women.
Wow.
So there are only 2 white people on jury, which is incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously helped to render yeah,
because
this
she
verdict.
Was unanimously guilty.
Yeah. And the judge was shutting down like a lot of bullshit. Like, one of the investigators who was part of it had said in open court, but the jury wasn't there, that he didn't believe her to be guilty.
The black dude, the coon.
Yeah, the coon. That he didn't believe her to be guilty. And she was like, nope, jury can't hear that. Mm-hmm. And then the DA gave an interview the day she put a gag order on the shit, trying to kind of.
That was the footage they had when she found out and she was blacking out. Yeah,
and she was like, oh my God. And she was like, I'm going to poll the jury. Nope, we're going to move forward. And when she allowed the Castle defense, which is kind of a Texas's version of stand your ground, mm-hmm. which basically is like, if you believe you're in your home and your home is under threat, you have a certain amount of leeway. I got a little concerned, but now I believe she did that so that whenever the eventual verdict came down and sentencing came down, Amber Geiger's team could not appeal saying we didn't get a chance to use Castle. That's my thought.
So
right?
She was like, I put it out there and I didn't use it.
Right, right. Okay. But what bothers me, while I'm happy that she got sentenced and she got time, I wonder if it would have been the same if it was a white man.
Oh, of course not.
But also, a white man police, white male police officer. But also, I saw an image of his brother hugging her.
Today.
After the sentencing. And I was like...
And you see the image of the woman...
Of the court clerk, trying to fix her hair and all before she got in front of cameras and shit.
That
and
was like, totally inappropriate for the bailiff to do that. Yeah. It was wildly inappropriate for the judge to do that. But let me say this about the brother.
Oh, yeah, because the judge hugged her, too. I forgot about that.
So I watched the... Okay. So obviously I read what everyone said about the brother and people are lambasting him. One... This seems like a kid. Yeah. Like this is like a 18. He looks. Yeah. He can't be more than 20 years old.
Because both of them was only in his 20s, yeah. right?
He can't be more than 20 years old. And when the one thing that this family has seemingly been consistent is that they are wildly religious.
Yeah, they're people of very strong faith.
If you watch the ABC clip and listen to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It would give you a little more context, and not that we should agree with him,
right.
but I don't like taking what I feel
right.
and putting it on someone else's level of forgiveness or how they should grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's his, like I get to go home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Like he had to bury his brother.
Absolutely.
Right. He's got to live with that shit.
Absolutely.
So whatever he had to do to figure out how to get through and claw out of wherever he was,
mm-hmm.
then that's on him, mm-hmm. right? Like, and what he's saying in that is that he basically says, like, you're gonna have to answer for everything you've done.
Yeah.
And what my brother would have wanted, I don't even want you to go to jail. What he's saying, what he says, sort of immediately after that is, if you're really sorry. And you should give your life to Christ. You should. He's basically.
He's evangelizing.
Yes.
The hug was an evangelism.
The,
okay.
That's exactly. That's what I was. I'm like.
Yeah.
If you kind of listen to what he's saying,
right.
and you understand some of these really heavy religious families,
mm-hmm.
like. This is not off brand.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, whether she does 100 years in jail or whether she never goes to jail, guess whose brother is never coming back?
Right.
Absolutely.
So however he had to figure that out, that's on him. And that's, and again, I don't know his exact age, but that looks like a young man.
Yeah.
That is somebody that we would all be like, you know, son, come in, you know, you know, help me with this bag or something, right? Like he's not a grown man that has, been through the world and kind of figured some things out. And also, even if it was, if the Christianity path that he is traveling has told him that this is what is going to be for him to find his happiness, who are we to kill this kid?
When I just saw, when I saw the image by itself, the reason it bothered me is because every time this shit happens, the family is called to be forgiven.
Bigger.
Right?
The bigger person.
And my thing is, like, forgiveness does not automatically mean I need to also make the person who committed a transgression against me feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my forgiveness, I feel like when it's black people who are supposed to forgive, we are supposed to do it. Like, if it forgive heinous fucking shit.
Publicly.
We're supposed to do it publicly in a way that comforts
yes.
the person
yeah.
that did,
who harmed yes. us, yes. right?
I feel bad that you feel bad that you shot my yeah, fucking brother.
Yeah, I still
to death.
Love you anyway. Fuck you. Like, yeah. you can forgive to remove your own heaviness, right? You can forgive in your mind. I can forgive you. I can pray that God save your soul, whatever. It does not mean I need to walk over and give your white blonde ass a hug. Especially not the day that I was read text messages where you were talking shit about black people
That's
all the time.
And that to me confirms.
So God bless him.
And that to me confirms that this had already been on this kid's heart.
Right.
That this, that what he said today was just the words
what he was
that,
moved to say.
What he was okay. moved to say long before
right.
this occurred.
Right.
And that is, It's nobody's place to me. It's nobody's place to say how he should handle, internalize, and who's to say that forgiveness or how he reacts to her, right, is in any way not one and the same
right.
with his path.
Right.
It's just not ours. And listen, it's not lost on me what that looks like.
Right.
I'm not yeah. saying
it was the
this.
Optics for
yes,
me.
I'm
yeah.
not saying that in a vacuum. I'm not yeah. saying that I would be okay with that. I'm just saying that every like we've all lost people.
Yeah.
Like clearly, well, I would say not to this tragic extent,
right,
right. right? But we've lost people, and in our families, we are all grieving differently.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Very yeah. differently.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And so I don't know why we're like so, it's almost like we want him to feel, and I get it because we're connected.
Walk up a smacker or something.
You know what it is? Because we're so connected to this case because it meant so much to us because
right.
it was like, this was the sort of the epitome of dude is literally doing nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
So like you could literally
in
be
your
doing
own
nothing.
Motherfucking house.
But this is also he's educated and he works at a good job.
But
he's a religious kid.
He was
exactly.
a quote unquote perfect victim.
Yeah.
Yes. And to me, man, I just feel like with that kid, people gotta let him be. You can't place that anger and that frustration on him.
That's fair.
That's just crazy to me.
I think I was also just bothered because, of course, she victimized herself on the stand, right? Like,
yeah.
she was saying how being
I
in the room...
I wish y'all would have killed me
She
instead.
Was saying how being in the room with him, like, I'm in the room with a dead body is literally the scariest thing you can imagine. No, bitch, you coming in my house while I'm eating cereal
yes.
and killing
yeah.
me. And a white woman coming in my house and killing me is literally the scariest thing I can imagine.
To me,
you know what I mean? Like,
let me just say this before I forget. And one of the things I think is really important here is that we connected to this in a way that was very similar to how we sort of galvanized around Trayvon's death
yeah.
and things like that.
Mm.
The difference here, in my opinion, this family was not public
at all.
Right.
About
very
this.
Quiet,
at
yeah.
all.
I don't know what their parents looked like.
Yeah.
I didn't know what this brother
looked
like until
yeah.
today.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole yeah. bunch of press conferences.
So when people say, you know, because I was kind of going back and forth with somebody, and they said, you know, well, this happened publicly, and then for him to do that, for him to say those words publicly, even if he felt that, was not cool based on the overarching mm-hmm. thing. And
I
get
that.
But my point is like, that family wasn't holding press conferences
yeah.
on the steps.
True.
They didn't call, what's my man from Florida?
Ben Crump.
They ain't have Ben Crump up there.
Yeah.
They buried that man. Them people went on about their lives. They didn't ask for nothing.
Yeah.
There wasn't no GoFundMe.
There was no Good Morning America interviews.
There was no public galvanization in trying
right.
to make this a racial thing from their perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
So who the fuck are we to put that on?
Yeah. Right. To me,
they did do, the mothers did, the mother and aunt did do one interview when it first happened. They did, they interviewed with Gail, I think.
Okay.
The one thing that bothered me, the boy hugging her, yeah, that shit was whack. But like I said earlier, what really bothered me was the bailiff and the
bailiff fixing her hair.
That shit really made me go like, God.
And I didn't know the judge had hugged her. That pisses me off.
Yeah, I didn't see the judge hug her, but the bailiff thing, I was like, really, shorty? Like,
Because it was so like, let me get you straight before you go in front of the camera.
You're going to be all right, baby. I'm like, come on, fam. Like, you got to chill. You got to chill out. The last thing I wanted to mention real quick, and I guess I don't know how much I could really talk about it. Sean, so you mentioned a couple things. Your boy R. Kelly. So Rob is in jail here in New York. Yep. He's been beefing because he can't see his girlfriends. Only one of them is allowed to see him. So the other girlfriend is not allowed to come in to see him. It doesn't say, it just says that, only one of them is allowed to be on his visiting list. And then after 90 days, he can switch. He wants to see them both at the same time.
I see what you're saying, right.
And it's only one, and then he gotta wait three months and then put the other one on.
Because of the kind of prison he's in.
I don't see him, right?
Is he in jail or is he in prison?
No, I think he's in, right? He hasn't had a trial yet. So I think
he's in federal.
Oh, in federal, yeah. But he hasn't had a trial.
Because he's in federal. Yeah, okay.
And now he's complaining about his health. And saying that he's feeling real sick in there.
Yeah, I know he is. Nigga, you've been out here gallivanting for 30 years.
Right.
Buck wild. And they ain't had a fucking cough, to say the least. Nothing. Nigga ain't missed a concert in 30 years. Now you finna die.
This is what, this is what happens when you go to jail. The entire point of being in jail is being uncomfortable and having your liberties and freedoms taken away from you because you didn't know how to fucking act. That's like Cosby was out here, or whoever has control of Cosby's account, tweeted last week, Friday, that this motherfucker is a political prisoner. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding? Like, this is what happens when you let people, and I'm going to say niggas, but I mean niggas universally. I don't just mean black people. I mean everybody. Mm-hmm. Just be out here wilding. I'm going to expect the same from Harvey if he gets time. He's going to be doing all kind of shenanigans. But if they had had to pay any consequences at all whatsoever at any point before now, they wouldn't be moaning and groaning.
Rob's actually in jail in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And his trials, not
that
till
Rowdy was on?
He might be actually. Trials not till 2020, so he's gonna be just sitting
and he was
still.
Denied bail again today.
Yeah, because they say he's a flight risk.
He's 100%
and they said
risk.
That did you see the thing where he found out that he took all his money and put it in a friend's account, and that's why he was claiming. And they so when they look at his bank account, it looked like he ain't had shit.
So. Now, now on top of that, nigga got federal tax evasion charges, probably bank fraud.
Right.
His man's is probably got all his shit frozen. Miss Betty rent check ain't coming through. None of that shit.
Nigga can't even go to the gas store
and get no gun.
Remember that Kells has charges pending in at least one other state.
And it might be a conspiracy charge.
Right. Yeah, he's
that nigga going to jail.
Rob.
Fucking time. Speaking of people finally going to jail and getting justice. So this old white man, Ed Buck.
Oh yeah. He was killing all the gays.
Is a huge Democrat, not killing all the gays.
He was.
Jeffrey.
He was killing the gay boys.
He was killing all the gays.
He was killing the black gays.
We know the title of the show now. You know that's what he was
killing all the gays.
Ed Buck was killing all the gays.
Anyway, so yes, he's a huge donor to the Democrat Party. Yes. I hate that this is how he's being defined, but it is huge donor to the Democratic Party. Who, on two separate occasions, a year apart, had instances of black gay men overdose heavily at his house, and both times, like, there were no real questions asked, and people started raising alarms, like, this is a cover-up, you know, this man is clearly, like, he's picking up, I hate to say trade, because I know it's a derogatory term, but that's basically
he's
what it is,
picking up,
like,
boys off the street.
He's picking up, or offline, or, you know, whatever, like, picking them up, promising them cash, plying them with, like, enormous amounts of drugs, not just here, take this, but enormous amounts of drugs. And finally, when a third man overdosed, but unless he died recently, he had not died as of when Ed Buck was arrested. Finally, they arrested him, but the arrest was at the time drug trafficking, not murder or attempted murder. It was drug trafficking, just because, like I said, they're just so much. Oh, I take it back. Now they, so he was arrested for drug trafficking when the third person overdosed. Now they've indicted him for that last death.
Okay.
In his home. So he going to jail.
He going as he should, because he was gone. Killing all the gay boys. Yeah. He was just trying to just live their life. All right. We're going to wrap it up.
Yes.
Yep. We'll give you all a little more details about the live show next week. But, yeah, October 21st, come through.
Yes, come be
have a couple of drinks.
It's free.
Be entertained. And,
yeah. It's free, but find some food.
Yeah, eat some food. And have some liquor. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.